Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, whose mission is to extend Christian ministry by caring for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit, and by working with others to improve health and quality of life in our communities. Now, here's your host, Ted Dotts.
Hello, I'm Ted Dotts, and welcome to Faith Matters. Today, our guest is Jack Thompson, a man I've known many years and have great respect and admiration for. So welcome to you, Jack. Now, I first met you, as I can remember, a long number of years ago when you were serving on a committee for the city of Lubbock. And in these years, you've done a great deal of service for the city, doing, behind-the-scenes work. Why would you get involved with the life of the city?
Well, I've always talked about the notion of trying to live an artful life, and I think that everyone has to figure out what those elements are for them. And for myself, it has to do with work, which I think is ennobling. I don't ever imagine not working. It has to do with family. It has to do with civic work and being involved in your community. And it has to do, for me, with travel. That's another important element. And it has to do with there's lots of animals in my life, so that's just been the direction I've chosen to go.
I love that phrase, artful life. I know a little bit about you, Jack. I know that in high school, you were an athlete, a good athlete, in Pampa and in Fort Worth. Then I know when you went to college, you came down with an illness. For some reason then, you took off, I think, and traveled with a dog named Bear. Would you mind telling our listeners about that, how you go from an athlete to illness, to a deep relationship with Bear?
When I was at the University of Texas in undergraduate school, my sophomore year, I had what they described as an immune system collapse and lived for the next 10 years on steroids and breathing machines and hit it pretty well. I came to law school out here at Texas Tech really for one reason, and that was that I was too ill to hold a job and I had to buy myself 3 years. So I came out here with the notion of just trying to work out every day as much as I was able and build back my health. After my first year in law school, I went to the dog pound in Euless, Texas, and I got the Bear as a puppy. Graduated law school, passed the bar, and then just took off and bummed around the country for about 6 months, just the Bear and I, and it was a marvelous experience. At that time, I didn't really know what the future held. Doctors had told me I probably wouldn't see 35 years of age, mainly because of the steroids and, of course, the immune system collapse. One of the things that happened when I was in law school is I got a call from an allergist. He's retired now, but I still don't want to mention his name, but he called me and said, this was right in my last year of law school, and he said, Jack, there is a couple of new drugs that are not legal in this country yet, but you've got to get them. And he gave me the name of a doctor in Juarez, Mexico, phone number and address, and told me this conversation never happened because he could lose his license over it. And I took the Bear to a friend's, and then I took off, went to Juarez and wandered around the streets. I remember going up some dark stairs into a doctor's office, ended up loading up my trunk with what is basically albuterol and Pulmicort, which is albuterol is a bronchial dilator, and Pulmicort's an inhaled steroid, which doesn't have the side effects of the others. They're now legal in the U.S. That probably saved me and helped me wean myself off of oral steroids. And so I worked on that as I bummed around the country, and just a great experience.
To add to that artful life you talked about, you've incorporated in there taking responsibility for your health. I mean, you talked about exercise in law school. Evidently, you relate to physicians well enough, they even call you and help you that way. What would you add an artful life and medicine if you were going to talk to people?
Well, I would say that your first step is always, for me at least, has been conventional medicine, but sometimes they may not have the tools that you need. I have always gone outside of traditional medicine into alternative medicine in addition to conventional medicine, and that has worked for me. I remember I had a doctor here named Billy Kincaid, who was just an excellent physician, a great guy, and I told him about these, that I was going to begin a different allergy shot type deal from a doctor up in Santa Fe, and it was outside the norm, and he said, you know, conventional stuff just really hadn't always worked for you. Go for it. I get away from conventional. I go outside, but I really do it under the guidance a lot of times, or at least in the consultation of conventional medicine.
Again, I'm thinking an artful life means you take responsibility to weigh and assess and make your decisions. If you met a young man or young woman coming to Lubbock wanting to go into business, you having done that yourself, what kind of advice or what would you say to a young person starting out?
Well, I guess the best way for me to approach that is that I can tell you what I told my daughter, Meg. She owns her own business in New York. When she started that business, we talked about it a lot. I just told her to be prepared to work harder than you've ever worked in your life and putting in more hours than you've ever done. You'll be amazed at how hard you work when it's you and only you on the line. Also, she recognized, as I recognized, that even though working for yourself is incredibly stressful, it's a different kind of stress than working for a boss. There's a certain stress of trying to please a boss that I wasn't good with and Meg wasn't good with. And she'd had some pretty good bosses. She'd had Bill Clinton and Charlie Rose, for example, as bosses and loved working for them. But still, that's a lot of stress to try to please a boss. And there's just something better for myself, and it turns out for Meg, in just trying to do your own thing.
We're going to be right back after a break. You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with Jack Thompson as our guest.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Ted Dotz. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating Covenant Heart and Vascular Institute. Since 1965, Covenant has brought together cardiac physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. More information is available on cardiac care at 866-4-COVENANT. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Ted Dotz.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ted Dotz, and our guest today is Jack Thompson, a businessman in Lubbock, Texas, graduate of the law school at Texas Tech University. And Jack, one thing you have said, you indicated there's a difference in working for someone and working for yourself. And you said you and your daughter Meg both are the kind of people who do better working for yourself. How do you help people see that and understand it? I'm thinking many people are caught in that sort of trap. They don't even recognize some of their own abilities.
It takes a certain leap of faith to start your own business. As I told Meg, I said, if you fail, it's not the end of the world. And that's what we're all terrified of, is we're all terrified of failure. So when you're out on that ledge and you're thinking, I'm going to make this work, well, maybe you are and maybe you aren't. But if you fail, you know, just pick yourself up and start over. When I started my business, I had a partner here. We went a year without doing a deal. And so I was 15 days away from having my loan called at the bank that I had been living on for the last year. And my partner panicked and took a job in Houston. So I really felt the weight of the world at that point, and luckily got a deal that we had been working on put together and closed and had a little breathing room for a while and was able to go. But, you know, you often wonder, how did that that happen and what if it hadn't happened? I didn't have a backup. My parents were unable to help me at the time, other than I'm sure Bear and I could have gone home to Fort Worth and lived with my parents for a while I regrouped. At least I had that. But it takes an absolute leap of faith to start your own deal. It really does.
Well, I love that phrase. That's such a powerful phrase. It was powerful to Søren Kierkegaard, great Danish theologian, philosopher. How do you take a leap of faith in the face of panic?
I just remember during that period that I had to totally focus on getting the deal done, and I had to not think about the panic. And I did that by going back to Rudyard Kipling's poem, If, and where he said, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. And that's what I did. Somehow, day after day, we got through it.
Wow. You've just told me with some of the right words from the right person. Sometimes you can step into your panic and keep going. Now, you do something, many things you do that are interesting to me, but one thing you do, you work with a lot of people. You employ a lot of people. You are the boss and supervisor of a number of people. What do you look for when you go to employ someone, or what shines or stands out, or on the other hand, what leads you not to employ people?
Well, I think you look for people who are hard workers and people who have integrity. Our business is completely dependent upon good people running our properties for us. We have mainly apartment type properties, and we have to have honest people, and we have to have people that can get along with others and who genuinely care about their residents. We're putting on a roof right now at one of the properties out at Branchwater Villas, and the roofer called me the other day and said, I just want to tell you, your manager out there is just terrific. She said, and on the other properties we've worked on, they really seem to care about the properties, and they really seem to care about their people, and they've just been delightful to work with. And so I think from the management standpoint, you look for people who care about their property and care about their people on the property. The maintenance guys, they've got to have a certain set of skills, and they've got to be willing to learn more skills and do more education, and they've got to be willing to get along with the people as well. Everybody represents us on the properties.
What do you do as an employer to bring out the best in your employees?
You have to be positive with your people. I try not to be a tyrant, though there may be some that would disagree with that. Some I may have fired along the way, but regardless of what they're being paid, number one, we try to pay our people well. We provide health insurance and we provide retirement. And we feel good about that for a little company like ours. That makes us feel really good, and we want our people taken care of. But, you know, you just try to be positive with them, because regardless of all that, everybody needs a pat on the back. They need to be told they're doing a good job. My wife has helped me with that, because I have a tendency to be old school and say, well, why does anybody need a pat on the back when they're just doing their job? That's what they're supposed to do. But she has convinced me that everybody needs a pat on the back from time to time.
So you've just told me that a good employer is able to learn from others, as you say, learn from Judy to do pat on the back.
Yes, but I'd like for you not to repeat that, please. I wouldn't want her to know I gave her any credit.
Well, I won't promise that.
All right.
Well, let me ask you another question. My impression of you is, you do, if someone asked me about you, I would say, here is a man who knows how to get along with people with whom he disagrees. Jack can usually be agreeable with a disagreeable person. Do I have you pegged right, or how do you get along with disagreeable people?
I don't know that I always do, but I try to. You know, one of the things I found that's interesting is that some people who are disagreeable, they don't hear you unless you're shouting almost, you know. So you have to stand up to disagreeable people, but also everybody's got good in them, you know, even me, I think. So you just look for that, and you try to find some common ground with people, I think. That has worked pretty well for me in the past.
Everybody has good in them. That is such a rich theological phrase. thank you for that. How did you come by that? Why would you view people that way?
Well, I don't know. I read a quote the other night in a book about Barbara Jordan, and her grandfather said that what Jesus really said was, love humanity, but don't trust them. And I always kind of like that. And I think that pretty well sums up my philosophy to some extent.
Oh, thanks for bringing her to mind. What a great quote from her. We will be right back after a quick break. You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with businessman Jack Thompson.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Ted Dotz. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating Covenant Heart and Vascular Institute. Since 1965, Covenant has brought together cardiac physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. More information is available on cardiac care at 866-4-COVENANT. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Ted Dotz.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ted Dotz with our guest, businessman Jack Thompson. Jack, I should like to ask you, as a businessman, what did you learn from athletics? You were an athlete as a young man. What did you learn from athletics that helps you in your business today?
I think from athletics, you really learn perseverance, you learn discipline, you learn leadership, you learn teamwork. To some extent, you also learn competition. I had to relearn competition, though, as a business person. About 40 years ago, I guess, I read Soul on Ice by Eldridge Cleaver, and in it, he said, competition is the law of the jungle and cooperation is the law of civilization. I actually teach that to my employees because they come to us and they are accustomed to being with companies that pit employees against one another in a competitive manner, and we don't do that. We want our managers, for example, to be referring potential residents to our other properties. We want our maintenance guys to pitch in and help one another. The competitive aspect I've really toned down because I really think that, at least for me, too much competition in one's life is unhelpful. For example, when I started out, I thought, well, I've got to do as many deals as this guy over here or I'm not successful. And I realized that to compete on that basis, I'm really living my life by their standards rather than figuring out what it is that I want to do with my life. I just kind of got out of that and just kind of focus on what I want to do with my company. We don't want to be the biggest, but we really strive to be a really good company that's known for taking care of our properties and improving our properties and taking care of our residents.
Jack, no wonder you amaze me through life. I mean, how many businessmen would read Soul on Ice by Eldridge Cleaver and get a business way of doing things, that is to have cooperation over competitiveness? That's quite a statement. You have two daughters. How have you passed on the business about cooperation rather than competition, or how did you try to pass on to your daughters?
Jill, my oldest daughter down in Austin, is a nurse, and it's so important for her to cooperate with the other nursing staff, with the doctors. She's worked in emergency rooms, and to work with her patients and to listen to her patients. Meg, up in New York, with her literary agency, she does a very good job of cooperating with editors and with other agents in the business, and she understands she's not going to get every deal, but she'll get her share, and she knows that she needs to be honest and forthright and that people need to be able to trust her.
So I'm guessing in your business dealings, you want to be trusted and you trust people.
Try to. Yes, I think that that's a real important factor. I think that again, love humanity, but don't trust them. but you want people to know that your word is your bond, and you put everything in writing. Of course, you learned that in law school, because everybody views different things through their own prism, and so it's just always good to get it written down. That's why we have contracts and leases and applications and all of that sort of thing to control the business deal that we're doing.
Trust and be careful, and competent. So let me ask you this. The thing that impresses me about you is your love for animals. What part does that play in your life, and how did you get started with that?
You know, I think it was innate. I can remember that I had a dog in high school. Actually, I got the dog, I guess, when I was in grade school. And then when I went off to college, the dog kind of became my parents' dog. Her name was Pepper. I remember that I came home for Christmas holidays at one point, and Pepper had been ill and hadn't really been able to move out of our living room in Fort Worth. And I came in one night late. I'd been out with friends, and Pepper got up and started walking back toward the hall. And I went and I opened the doorway for Pepper. And this is the first time really she'd walked that distance in some time. I mean, she was dying. I followed her, and she went into my parents' bedroom, and she laid down at the foot of their bed, and she died. And it was a powerful experience and a privilege for me to be able to observe that. And it kind of took away any fears I might have had of death. And then with the bear, I was at times so distraught when I was out here in law school and unable to get off the medications and in constant asthma attacks. And there were times when I considered ending it. And the reason that I didn't do that was that I couldn't possibly even consider leaving the bear. And so I always felt like just as I saved his life, he saved my life. In a very real way.
Jack, thank you for that. That's most powerful. I think many of our listeners hearing that may take new heart, because ending things is often with us, especially when misery is so deep. You do a thing that intrigues me, and I wish I could and knew how to do it, but I think every year you take each of your daughters separately on a trip. How did you generate that idea, and how do you carry that out, especially with women who are adults now? And
well, I started it really with Meg. I went from being a 30-year-old guy with a dog to being a 30-year-old guy with a dog and a wife and a 10-year-old kid, which was Jill, another dog that Judy had, and about four cats. And so the bear and I spent a good year trying to figure out what on earth had happened to us. Jill would always, when it came time to go places, she had a very good relationship with her father, and so she would typically go places with him. But Meg and I just started going on little trips together, just the two of us. It was a great, great bonding experience. I remember visited friends in El Paso, and we visited friends in Oklahoma, just went places together. And so, for example, 4th of July, Jill and I did our trip. We went to Martha's Vineyard for the 4th of July, and we just had a great time. I enjoy those times, and I hope to be able I hope Meg and I can get something scheduled for this year. So we'll see. She just got married, and that changes things a little bit. So we'll see.
Jack, one of my favorite images of you is somehow you came into the possession of two brand new birthed kittens. And in order for them to survive, you got up through the night with a doll bottle and fed them until they survived. Are those kittens still alive and with you?
Oh, they are indeed. They are indeed. And they still think I'm their mother. One of our managers, our maintenance guys, found a couple of little week-old kittens over at one of the apartment complexes, and the mother was nowhere to be found, and Jill was living here at the time. We went and got the kittens, and I took them home, and had to bottle feed them, and I had to get up every 4 hours and bottle feed them, and then they got some sort of infection, and so I had to get up every 2 hours and give them Pedialyte. I'd be in business meetings, I know, and I'd just say, I got to go feed cats. You know, goodbye. And so, they're great. One is St. Francis and one is little sister Abby, and they are the light of my life. They are just great. It's amazing the bonding that takes place when you have to bottle feed these cats in the middle of the night. I remember I was terrified at one point in time. Abby didn't take her food, her bottle. And so I loaded them up in a box and I took them to the vet, and the vet was kind of puzzling over me. He said, well, they seem healthy. And so he grabbed some dry food and he put the dry food on the table and Abby started gobbling it up. And so she was just ready to wean herself. We had no idea. We had all these elaborate plans to wean them onto dry food and she just did it and Francis watched her and so he started eating. So, but I remember I was just absolutely terrified I was going to lose her.
Jack Thompson, thank you for being with us, making this contribution to Lubbock and West Texas and this visit. It's been a great honor to be with you. Thank you all for joining us today. I'm Ted Dotts, and you've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. All the previous shows on kttz.org, and click on 89.1 and then Faith Matters, and you can get the previous shows.
You've been listening to Faith Matters with your host, Ted Dotts. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, working to improve health and quality of life in our communities. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Radio.